It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
On this holiday weekend, always welcoming your calls and your text messages. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text them in to Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, back with us. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hope you had a nice quiet one.
It was a nice quiet one. Yeah. The pets behaved themselves, so life was
good. Oh, they
did.
Well, life is good.
Life is good.
I was talking to morning producer Jimmy Erickson yesterday, and he said, doggone it, I hope the weather holds out today, meaning yesterday, so I can get out and get rid of some of those leaves.
Exactly.
And I thought, you know what? I was going to be a couch potato, but I think...
But you found the energy.
Found the energy to blow some leaves and then take the lawnmower with a bag and clean up the yard.
So now it's beautiful out there. So let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Well, it was not long after that that it started to rain.
So I think
my timing
was
good, yes,
of
course. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to talk to Teresa, Master Gardener here, helping us out from time to time here on CCO. Again, text number is 81807. Or call 651-989-9226. Don't wait till the end of the show.
Don't wait till the end. We don't want to miss your call.
Right. And we do tend to get busy on this show. So by all means. And our good friends at By the Yard, that local CCO family-run business that make the best patio furniture in the whole world, sponsor this show every week. By the Yard. It's a great time of year to pick up that furniture. Great gift giving.
Wonderful gift,
yeah.
And it's buy local or support your local.
Yeah, you talk about a green company, not the color, of course. Mm-hmm, but
Although they do have green furniture.
They do, indeed. Lots of color. 651-989-9226. You can call us now. We had a question earlier this morning, Teresa, about when to do dormant seeding. First of all, what is dormant seeding?
Dormant seeding is when you're going to overseed or start a new lawn, and you're doing it so you're not expecting it to grow this season. So basically, now could be the time to do it. Unless you already have snow on the ground, then you're a little too late. But what you do is you put the seed down. You want to make as good seed-to-soil contact as possible, just like you would any other time. So putting it over the leaves is not really going to work. And then you hope for the best. And by that, I mean, hopefully it'll come up in the spring when it's ready. However, in the meantime, it could be eaten by birds. It could be eaten by voles and mice. It could be washed away if you have a fast snow melt. Or if we get a long, moist spring, it could rot before it comes up. But it's a chance you take. But it is something that you can do. If you do dormant seeding, though, you aren't going to be using crabgrass pre-emergence.
Oh, that's a good
spring,
point.
Because then you would stop that seed from sprouting and growing also.
Can't do both.
You can't do both at the same time, no. Mm-mm.
And I was thinking, as you were saying, seed to ground contact, which is necessary.
Yes.
What if your lawn ground is frozen?
Well, that's okay. It's still going to be on the ground.
It's still going to be there.
So you want to touch it as close. You don't want, so step on it. Put the back of the rake.
Make sure the contact is there.
You want that contact because seeds don't usually sprout in the air. They need that soil to sprout.
That's good thinking. I've tried that before.
Because you don't want seeds sprouting in the air. That wouldn't be a good thing.
All right, Teresa, 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones. George is calling from Eden Prairie. Hi, George. Good morning.
Hi, George.
Good morning. Is this a good time to trim more maples or, for that matter, any maple tree?
You can go ahead and trim your maples if you want. I tell people try not to trim if you don't have to this time of year because the plants may not have gone totally dormant. And if they're going into dormancy and then you start trimming, they may start to want to grow then in those places. Also, if they have gone dormant, the earlier in the winter season that you prune them and trim them, that wound is not going to seal up as quickly because the plants are dormant. And we have very dry winters. So the dryness works its way further and further and further into the plant before it can seal up. So if you can put off pruning till later, that's okay. But sometimes this is the only time you've got to prune, and you go ahead and prune and do what you've got to do.
Very good. Thank you, George. There's a line open if you want to use it to call Teresa, 651-989-9226, or if it's easier, send a text, 81807, just like Catherine did from St. Paul. She said, I planted my last 40 tulip and
alliums.
Bulbs yesterday. I got rained on, but I did it. Thanks for the great advice all summer.
Great. Catherine, you're going to have a beautiful spring show in your garden. If you can dig in the ground, you can still plant your tulips. So don't be afraid to try that. Especially if you think, you know, I want some spring color, because you can't plant those things in the spring. You need to plant them in the fall.
You know, we have listeners all over, I was going to say all over the country, all over the world, too, mm-hmm. given the internet.
That's true.
A lot of folks have friends or family visiting.
Oh, wonderful.
Here in the Twin Cities, what we lovingly call CCO land.
Yes.
So five states and a couple of provinces in Canada, for that matter, mm-hmm. our signal goes. But for those that are in local, I always like to mention this time of year, is to get to the Arboretum.
Go to the Arboretum. You know, get a membership or just go out there for the day. They have light stuff going on. You can walk. I think they might have closed 3 Mile Drive now, so now you can walk it. So it's a wonderful way to get some exercise. Over the winter, they have cross-country skiing out there. I think they even have snowshoeing. There's so much to do. There's often a master gardener out there, I believe, on Saturday, maybe Sunday too, I can't remember, to answer your questions. They usually have a wonderful display in the Great Hall. There's the poinsettia tree, yeah. The big poinsettia tree again this year. So there's just a lot going on out there. They have a small conservatory, so if you just need to go in and get some green and some moisture and pretend you're in the jungle for a minute while it's rages snow outside, they have a tiny conservancy out there. So it's just wonderful place to go.
Yeah, if you're thinking of something to do with your guests.
Something to do with your guests. Yeah. It's just amazing. And it's you know, all here local in Minnesota. And it's a jewel that we often forget about.
It's true.
Yeah.
And where is it located? If you head west on Highway 5?
Highway 5. And just keep going and just past, I believe it's 41.
Yeah.
And then you make the left into the.
You'll see the big sign there at that intersection.
Exactly. Yep. And you'll know you're getting close because there'll be vineyards and apple tree orchards on the side.
Minnesota Landscape Arboretum.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Great place.
Wonderful place to go.
Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Larry is calling from Maple Lake, I believe. Larry, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Larry.
Thank you. Yeah, I just heard about overseeding. I have some good nitrogen for fall application, and the question I have with all the frost we've had, and is it still okay to put down the nitrogen like today?
That's a good question. It's really kind of late to put down the winterizer. That is more of early to mid September. I would probably not put it down. You just don't know if the ground has started to freeze already. It's not going to work its way into the soil, and it could be washed off because the ground is getting more and more frozen all the time. So I would probably not apply it at this time. Save it for next fall. Just keep it dry. It'll last just wonderfully. It can even sit out in the garage and freeze. As long as it doesn't get wet, it'll be just fine. And then you can go ahead and use it next year. You won't have to buy any next year, and you should be okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Larry leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. A bunch of texts, as usual, Teresa. You're used to that. 81807. Let's see. We got a few more now. This came from Dan. Now that 3 black walnut trees have been cut down around the garden and plants, will its effect on my other plants exist, or will its poisonous effects subside soon?
What happens is it has a product, chemical in it called juglone. That juglone is throughout the entire plant. So it's still in the roots. Now, you're not going to have to worry about leaves. You're not going to have to worry about the rain having juglone in it. So you're going to be okay if you just grow everything above ground. As the roots decompose, that juglone will eventually disappear. But since they're probably big trees, it's probably going to take quite a bit of time. So understand that as you're digging in the soil, your plants may come in contact. Their roots may come in contact with roots that had juglone in them and may not have already decomposed. But now you have a wonderful open space. You have probably lots of sun. So just do some raised beds. If you want to put down some cardboard on top of the soil and then grow your raised beds on top of that, that will really help those plants. And you should be okay. Eventually the juglone does dissipate, but that's as the plant roots decay.
Oh, okay. Very good, Dan. Texter says, by the way, the text number 81807 for your lawn and garden question for Teresa. I have, Texter says, summer and fall bearing raspberries.
Oh, wonderful.
Should I cut them back? I haven't in the past and got two harvests. If I do cut them back, how will they be affected?
You know, and this, and I always get a little confused with raspberries. I don't know why my brain just won't accept what I know about raspberries. I would go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and they have a wonderful 4-5 page article there. Click on the Yard and Garden tab and just Google raspberries UMN and it'll tell you when to prune. It's usually later in the season and you can often cut them all down. But I would definitely refer to that, publication first.
I'm glad you brought up the website because it is such a great resource.
It's a wonderful
resource. I mean, it's just fun reading.
There's a lot in there, and they've redesigned it a lot. And I'm still looking. A gentleman wanted me to find a veggie page that I knew was out there, and he couldn't find it. And I haven't been able to find it yet, but I'm still looking
still working
for it.
At it.
I was up at Wyndham Park over last week, and I'm looking for it. I'm still looking for it.
All right.
Don't give
up homework.
On me.
You know what we need to do? I want to alert Shirley and JC. Hang on the line and other callers and texters because we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back to ask your question of Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Smart Garden Show. We're in the midst of answering your questions. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is doing the answering. You do the asking either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. I see a line open if you want to use it, or just send Teresa your text, 81807. I know, Teresa, we promised some folks on the line they wouldn't have to hang on too much longer. Let's get back to the JC is calling from Bloomington. JC, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, JC.
Hi, good morning. I've called you before about this problem.
Okay.
The last 10 years, I've taken care of my mother's gravesite with a geranium. And the first 8 years, I never experienced Japanese beetles.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I went through two geranium plants because of the beetles.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, there was hardly any at all. Are we getting a handle on eradicating them?
No.
Oh.
You're just lucky.
Sorry. It was just lucky they just didn't find your geranium. Geraniums are like drugs to Japanese beetles. They just kind of head to the geranium and they just eat it and they don't do anything else. They just really get into it. It's a drug really for them. It just impacts them. It's not like a food. It's like a drug and they really just, so they'll really go for your geraniums. And it could just be that in this instance, there were no Japanese beetles in the area or they found something closer. Somebody else's, maybe somebody had, I don't know, they were all, who knows what. But yeah, we're finding that the populations do vary quite a bit and they can move around. You get big influxes and then it goes down. But I don't think we're anywhere near coming to terms with them.
Okay, thank you.
It's a process.
It is.
A long process.
Let's see what Shirley has to say from Hopkins. Shirley, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Shirley.
Back to tulips.
Yes.
I bought tulips and I delayed putting them out and then the ground froze. And when I went out there, I couldn't believe it, but it was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Could I start those indoors in the spring and then move them to the spot I want them to be?
Tulips need a chill time. So what you can do is plant them up in pots and put them in your refrigerator. You'll have to give them water occasionally because most of us have those refrigerators that are no frost. So they take the moisture out of the air all the time. You want to also, if you're going to do that and put them in the fridge, make sure that they don't have any apples in there. That will impact the tulip, and it may actually kill the flower of the tulip because the flower's all ready to go. But they need a chill time, so you have to chill them, and usually planting them up is the easiest way. If you have a root cellar, that probably won't get cold enough, but you can give it a shot. Otherwise, they do need to be chilled, and then you can bring them out and get them growing in the spring.
All right. Text number, by the way, 81807. Here's a text, Teresa. Can evergreens and arborvitae still be watered this Sunday or Monday? Well, I'm looking at the forecast.
Well, you can water them if the ground isn't frozen. Please,
if it's not
please
frozen.
Please do water them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have the inclination and can get the hoses out or a jug of water or something and the ground isn't frozen, please do water them. Yes.
The current temperature is 37, and it's already starting to drop. We'll drop to 23 overnight, and the high tomorrow is only going to be 26.
Right. So it really depends. I mean, I don't think the ground in my yard is frozen because we've got so much rain.
You still have
lately.
Time, you think.
So you still have time. It really depends what your ground is doing. This is where, as a gardener, as a homeowner, as anyone who has land outside, you need to really be in touch with what your situation is doing, and just take whatever you hear from anybody else with a grain of salt, because you have microclimates that you could have a zone 5 and you could have a zone 3 and in the same yard.
Isn't that something?
So it's really amazing. So it's amazing what you can do. Just get in touch with what your yard is doing. And for the lady who just called on tulips, that's called forcing tulips. So
Forcing.
So that's the term you would want to look up on the internet to see how long, because it's a pretty long time they need to be chilled.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Teresa, Steve is calling from Lake Elmo. Steve, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Teresa. I have a question. I've been planting apple trees up north and fencing them in, and actually I'm doing it for the deer.
Wonderful.
But anyway, I've got like 18 of them planted, and I noticed this year, before I put the white sleeves on them, that, let's see, 4 or 5 of them, a mouse or mole or something got and chewed around the base down by the ground, the bark. Is that going to kill those trees come springtime?
It could be. If it goes all the way around, it's called girdling.
Yeah.
And the layer that brings the nutrition up and down from the leaves to the roots and the roots to the leaves is in that very top layer there in the cambium. So if that is compromised and all the way around, that means you've basically strangled the tree. So sometimes it doesn't go deep enough, and sometimes it's not all the way around, and the tree can recover. So you just kind of have to see. I know they did that to one of my trees, and it's been hanging on, but it doesn't look good. So I think going to do. But that is called girdling, and that is one of the reasons why I would say, if possible, and what you may even want to do for your trees up north is just use hardware cloth and put the cylinder of hardware cloth around them as soon as you plant them, and just leave it there year in and year out until the tree gets big enough to touch the hardware cloth or until the tree bark is thick. Then you don't have to worry about the sleeves going on and off at the wrong time and missing those opportunities. And that hardware cloth will protect it year round too.
Okay, good. Thank you, Steve.
Good luck with your apple trees.
Gary, you'll be next. Don't go away. And texters, we have more to come. Text number again is 81807. Our phone number, 651-989-9226. We have another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. More Smart Garden straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard down in Jordan, Minnesota. Went driving by there Thursday.
Thursday.
On the way back from Mankato, quick drive down 169. Great folks. By the Yard. Thank you for that. We have a line open for a question for Teresa, Master Gardener. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. We'll get back to the text questions in a moment. But who's been waiting? Gary has been waiting there to ask you a question. Go ahead, Gary. Thank you.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, I have 4 hydrangea bushes that are about 12 feet tall in length. They're flowering great on top, but not at the base anymore. Can I prune those back and, say, create a bush and start the flowering process over again?
You certainly go ahead, prune them back a little bit. I'd especially say cut off some of the flowers if they're a little weaker stemmed, so that when the heavy snows come, they don't pull the stems down. And go ahead and start. It may sucker up again. It may not. I'm not sure if you have bushes or trees now. I'm not sure.
I have bushes.
Bushes. Okay. Yep. So it needs a little more light, and that will cause some more rooting to some more suckering to come up from the bottom, and then you should get some more.
Can I prune them back down to, say, 18 inches, 24
sure.
inches
yep.
height?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you bet.
Good. Very good, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Gary leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. Jack is calling from Redwood Falls, Minnesota, with a question. Hi, Jack. Good morning.
Hello, Jack.
Yes, good morning. Say, about the grass seed, is that treated? And if so, will that hurt any of the wildlife?
You probably aren't getting any treated seed. You can, of course, ask where you're getting it from, if it has been treated with any neonicotinoids or anything like that. And the nice thing is now most of our insects have gone dormant, so we're okay with doing things like that in case it is neonicotinoid treated. But it probably isn't. I don't believe they do that for grass, but I could be way wrong on that. So ask wherever you got it from. Even call the manufacturer and ask them, because you know, as the people who are using this, you have so much power over those companies to say, I want seeds that aren't treated, or I want seeds that are treated. And by your taking the time to call that manufacturer, ask that seller, you are signaling that this is what you want, and they want to cater to what will sell. So go ahead and ask them to find out. It should even maybe say on the package whether or not it is. But that's always a good thing to think about. You know, if I'm planting treated seeds, are they going to impact? And right now, they shouldn't be impacting anybody, but that's a good question.
And maybe where you purchase some greenhouse or wherever you purchase,
they may know too. Yeah. And if they don't know, they may want to find out because if you have a question, other people
do. Good question.
That's a good question.
Thanks, Jack. Betty is calling from Green Isle with a question. Betty, you are on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Betty.
Good morning. My question relates to perennial herbs. Teresa, do they need that cold winter period, or will they do okay in my warm garage in a pot?
They should be doing okay in your warm garage in a pot. If the garage doesn't freeze, you'll have to make sure you water. If it does freeze, you want to make sure it's not freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing all winter, because every time it goes through that process, a little bit of some of the roots will die, and eventually there'll be no roots there. But your herbs are okay. They don't need that winter cold spell.
Right,
good
very
question.
Good. Yeah, great questions. We have smart listeners.
Very smart listeners. Very good questions. I like this. You get my brain thinking early in the morning.
In fact, earlier, as you know, we were talking about dormant seeding, and a texter wrote in, perennial seeds that require stratification. Mm-hmm. You know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't, but you do.
It's winter stratification is what most of our prairie seeds need, most of our perennial, lots of our grass seeds need. They need to go through winter cold, winter temperatures. And so our prairies grew up like that. So if you want to start prairie seeds like, the one for monarch butterflies. If you want to start those, you don't start those in the spring. You start them in the fall. So you have to plant them now, because that's when the plants would normally drop.
Right in
their
the tip
seeds.
Of my tongue, and I can't.
I do too. It's just my. all I can think of is Asclepias, which is the other way.
It'll come to me about three in the morning.
I'll shout it out as I'm leaving. You can also do what's called winter sowing, where you plant them in containers out in January and February outside.
But the texture about the perennial seeds, mm-hmm. that stratification, the favorite to he or her or him to seed are lupin or lupine, mm-hmm.
The lupines, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're so beautiful, yeah.
All right, let's see. Yeah. Seeding, that's what we're talking about. Tom and Waverly, I think, is on the horn with that. Tom, what is your question?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
We
have a new house, my wife and I, and we had hydro seeding done.
Wonderful.
Early in the year. But I've got a few spots that I want to upgrade. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering, I've been told different ways, but can we still overseed here? You know, now is it too late for that overseed the lawn?
It's too late to overseed, but it's not too late for dormant seeding. So go ahead and put the dormant seed down. Make sure you have really good seed-to-soil contact. They're not going to do anything until spring, and then they'll come up in the spring. If it's a wide open area, what I would probably do too is if you have any little straw or some straw or some dried grass, after you put the seeds down, put a little bit of that over it. Will disguise those fresh seeds being put down from all the migrating birds.
All right.
Okay. Good luck.
651-989-9226. That's the phone number. The text number, meanwhile, 81807. Let's see. Brent is calling from Roseville, then we'll grab some text messages. Good morning, Brent.
Hey, Brent.
Good morning. I had to replant some perennial arborvitae this spring because last year some severe damage and they just didn't make it.
Right.
So I got good advice from the University of Minnesota as to how to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a barrier around, you know, the arborvitae itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I didn't really understand was, should I actually wrap the arborvitae in something or just have a good barrier around it to keep it, from wind and so forth?
What kind of barrier did they say, like a fencing?
Fencing, yeah.
Fencing, okay. The fencing will probably work just fine as long as you did your job this fall and watered really well. Otherwise, if you were thinking, I didn't water as much, or I have a really sandy soil, or I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen next year, all you really have to do is take some burlap, and on the outside of one of those fences where the prevailing winds come or where you get a lot of hot sun, just put up a strip of burlap, and that will shade it or break the wind enough to just give those arborvitaes a little bit of relief from either the hot, hot sun that they're getting out there or the dry, dry winds, or both sides. So you don't have to wrap them up like mummies. You can just do that strip. That'll just break the wind, and that will really help a lot.
All right.
Good luck.
Let's get back to the tech screen for a moment. Here's one. We had a bumper crop of acorns this year.
Oh, yes.
And did not pick them up. Mm-hmm. They are ground in and cannot be picked up anymore. What can we do to counteract the damage they will do to the yard? The dog is eating as many as he can, but he's barely making a dent.
Well, I don't know how good they are for dogs. Talk to your vet about that. That kind of worries me because I know we have to treat the acorns before we can eat them. We have to soak them in everything, and there's a lot of tannins in there. So I don't want your puppy to get sick or blocked up or anything. So check with your vet on that. There's not much you can do in the spring. You can gently rake them up once the soil thaws a little bit, but you want to make sure it's dry enough so you're not ripping up the grass also. And that's just something that happens. You get those years where we have these, and this was one of those years where we had a big bumper crop of a lot of seeds and a lot of acorns and things. It was just one of those wonderful years. So just rake up as many as you can in the spring, and try to keep your dog out of them. I worry about that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what that would do to puppy dogs.
Squirrels, I think, are fine.
The squirrels, but, yeah. and bring in a lot of neighborhood squirrels. Maybe they'll eat them up for you.
It's a whole other issue.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
Let's go back to the phones. Barbara's calling from Minneapolis, I believe. Barbara, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. I have a question. I bought a new, a young lilac tree, the bloomerang.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's new this year, so I got a plastic collar put around the stem.
Mm-hmm.
How long should I leave that on? Can I leave it on all summer or take it off in the spring?
That's a really good question. You get those collars when you buy trees and shrubs that have a trunk, and you want to keep those on between November and March, and then you want to take them off. And what I would suggest anybody, especially if you have a tree that has this, that you cut them in half, so you have two half cylinders, and then just duct tape it back together every year. It's a hard plastic, and lots of people find it hard to take off gently, and the minute you start scratching the bark, you're creating damage where you can get sun scald, you can get breaks, you can damage the trunk of the tree or the shrub. So keep it on November to March. That's when you want to protect it from critters, but then you need to take it off because otherwise a lot of wonderful little critters can live inside there and gnaw away at the bark, and insects and diseases can get in there, and there's nothing that will stop them from being there. There's nothing that will prey on them and eat them, or the moisture will build up and you'll get all kinds of diseases. So if you have to, the hardware cloth is a wonderful thing. You can just make a cylinder of that and leave it on 24/7, 365 days a year. The white plastic stuff has to come off in March.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Kathy is calling from White Bear Lake with a question. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning,
Kathy.
I have a question about a couple of medium-sized willow trees that I plan on cutting down, and I wonder if I can use the shredded tree as a pathway mulch.
Sure.
Or would it just wash away like pine? I don't want it to wash away. I want it to stay put like oak mulch.
Yep, it kind of depends. It probably would be okay. The willow's kind of a stringier tree, so as it goes through your shredder, you'll have to see what it looks like, but it's probably going to be kind of stringy, so it should be able to be used fine as a mulch, and that's a great way then to keep the tree on your property to kind of honor that tree, or to just, if you were really angry with the tree, just now you're stepping on it all the time. But it's a great way to reuse that right on your property. I would definitely give it a try. It's going to depend upon how it gets mulched up, whether it's really chunky or whether you're going to have more strips.
All right. I know we have to break. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks.
And before I do, though, we mentioned that By the Yard, the great sponsor of the show. This is such a great time of year for gift giving of that furniture, but it's also gift card time. which is great. You can buy what you want, pick out the color and all of that. Exactly. We'll talk more about that coming up. Buy the Art. Thank you for sponsoring this show every week. 37 degrees now. We will be right back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday here on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. Enjoying Teresa's company as usual. If you're just joining us, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us again, answering your questions by phone and by text. And as usual, Teresa, a ton of text messages,
And it
too.
Took all of us in the studio to come up with milkweed.
Milkweed. We couldn't think of that. Yeah, what was that?
What was that? Yeah, we were talking about winter stratification for seeds. You got to plant your milkweed now.
Texter wants to know, Teresa, is it okay to spray wilt? So we talk about wilt stuff that Bonnard makes, which is like clear coating on an evergreen, and wrap it with burlap, or is that overkill?
That's probably overkill. And you have to be careful because you some of those you don't spray on your arborvitaes until the arborvitaes are dormant because it interferes because they have such big, big needles. So you have to read the instructions and make sure. That means your arborvitaes have to be in like frozen, frozen ground, not just going into it. But you probably don't need both.
Yeah. We get this question all the time, and we get it on this show. We get it on Jim Gilbert's show. What can I do to keep the woodpeckers from pecking holes in my house, and what should I put in the holes to stop them?
Well, first of all, you get Teresa's book on humane critter control.
What's that called?
The complete guide, or the guide to humane critter control. Actually, what you do is you have to figure out why the woodpeckers are there. In the spring, they're there declaring territory. So your house sounds really good and they can attract mates. They can declare territory. In other times of the year, they're eating insects. Mm. So you have to figure out why they're there. Actually, just hanging a clear sheet like a sheet of plastic, a shower curtain over the area, they can't grip. So they'll eventually go away. And you can fill up the holes with whatever wood putty or whatever
wood filler,
you use, magic stuff that you can find at your hardware store that they'll tell you all about that I don't have a clue about. But they'll tell you how to fill those things up. But that's – so figure out why they're there. And it could just be that they're eating a lot of insects that are good and that you don't want in your house anyway. But you don't want them to destroy your wood siding in.
I know I've seen people put up old CDs that they don't want.
Yep, shiny things work with birds because the flickering of the light, they don't know what that is. That can frighten them away. You know, you can try putting up an owl, but you've got to move it frequently, a fake owl.
They get used to that.
They get used. They're not stupid. I mean, they're smart birds. They know this stuff. But you can't injure the birds. They're protected species, so you don't want to injure the birds. So you just have to figure out why are they there. And then just hang up the sheet, the plastic, and they can't grip on. And that's the simplest thing to do. It's not the most attractive, but maybe you can find a really pretty colored shower curtain that says something about you to the neighbors, and you can hang that up. Just go with it. You know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
You know, I guess we do joke once in a while about Creeping Charlie.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter. 52 weeks a year, we'll get questions about Creeping Charlie. Mm-hmm. This one came in. I think we have a couple of them because you and I were talking off air about that.
Mm-hmm.
The pricing of my chemically free Creeping Charlie just went up with the romaine scare.
Yes. I don't know if I'd eat Creeping Charlie, but it's edible, but I don't think it's
Didn't somebody say to make tea out of it?
Tea out of the flowers, but I haven't tried that either, so I'm not promoting any of that right now.
Texter says this for the tulip bulb caller. Texter says, my tulip bulbs in big pots, leave them in an unheated garage all winter. Mm-hmm. They will come up when they're ready in the spring.
Yep. You just want that garage just to stay cold or to stay warm. And if it's warm, it's not going to get chill time. But if you can just keep it cold, it's when it starts heating up all the time in the thawing and the heat and the freezing and thawing, that's when you get the things messed up.
Texter wants to know, are all of those huge areas of copper-colored grass going to be coming back as quack grass or crab grass? And I'm wondering if they are annuals rather than perennials.
Crabgrass is an annual. So if it's, I don't know what the copper-colored grass is that this person's talking about. But your crabgrass is dead. It is dead for the year. It will never come back again. However, it probably set a lot of seeds. The quackgrass is a wonderful perennial that suckers frequently and sends out little rootlets everywhere and will multiply like crazy. So quackgrass is quite a different story than crabgrass.
How do I winter my hardy mums? Texter wants to know.
Okay, so I'm assuming they're planted outside. You want to leave them up and give them some mulch covering. That would be very helpful. And then cut them back in the spring. I'd probably even build a little cage around them. I always tell people to build cages. I just want the world full of little cages. And just fill it up with leaves, and that will protect the roots. And don't cut them back yet, though. Cut them back in the spring.
Another texter says, I just got rid of all my leaves yesterday. Good going. Is it too late to fertilize and overseed? You kind of addressed this
before. I wouldn't fertilize. It's not too late. It's too late to overseed. It's not too late to dormant seed. There is a difference. You can look it up on the extension.umn.edu. And I wouldn't fertilize at this time. I just don't think it's going to sink into the ground. I think your ground's probably a little too frozen for it.
I can't answer legal questions. I'm not sure about Teresa. But Texter says, is it legal to kill my neighbor's creeping Charlie?
Technically, from what I understand, it's not legal to kill someone else's plants. However, what you can do is if their plants are creeping into your yard, you can sever them at the property line and then kill the ones on your side and just create a little no man's land between your neighbor and, 6, 8, 10 inches between on the property line there on your side, and just keep that clear. And that'll keep creeping Charlie on the other side. Because you can't really go into your neighbor's yard and be killing plants.
No.
Unless they ask you to.
Right.
You just want to keep the neighborhood happy and wonderful.
We got about a minute to go. How about a lightning round, real fast? Okay. What's the best way to get rid of maple tree suckers?
Cut them.
Cut them off, okay. When is the best time to prune rhododendrons? And how do you know how far down to go?
Right after they bloom in the spring, and you can go back as far as you need to prune them.
Oh, here's a text that says, my dog got very ill from eating acorns. Vet said acorns are very toxic to dogs. That was your point.
I would think, though, with the tannins and everything in there, you don't want that. Their systems are so much smaller than ours.
All right. And again, for those folks that that have never been, or maybe they haven't been to the Arboretum in a long time, urge them to go there.
Go to the Arboretum. Take your guests. Show off a gem of Minnesota. And the kids will run outside and lose some energy and give the adults some energy.
Sleep well tonight.
Maybe they'll sleep well tonight.
Yes. Now, how about the website before we go?
Extension.umn.edu.
And hit on the garden tab.
Yard and garden tab, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a great resource.
It is a great resource. And if you can't remember that, just ask your question, Raspberries UMN for University of Minnesota. You'll get there.
You will get there, absolutely. Teresa, it's good to see you as usual.
Good to see you, too.
Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
You, too.
Thanks for coming in on this holiday weekend to help our listeners out.